Hello, horror fans, and welcome to this special interview. I am Jamie from Devour the Podcast and Evil Episodes and, well, several other things. Joining me today is Brian Sammons of Evil Episodes, and we are super excited today to be talking to the men behind Bright Light Media, who will be bringing us the board game Mixtape Massacre that I have seen all kinds of buzz about all over social media, and for good reason. And so, welcome to Fred Carlini and Matt Corrado. Fred, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing great. Why don't you tell our listeners a little about your role in the company or what you do?
Sure. So I'm co-owner of the company with Matt. My day-to-day, I'm usually working in development and the part of the marketing side of the company. And then when it comes to this game, I'm kind of the one who does kind of the rules and kind of the layouts and things like that, whereas Matt does more of the art side of the project.
Okay. And welcome to you, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Happy to be here.
Okay. So you do the art part.
Yeah, exactly. Like Fred said, so the concept of the game was definitely more Fred's idea. And just a little bit of background about, like, you know, what we do in general. Like, we're kind of coming from more of a background of digital media, but, you know, we do illustration, we do graphic design, we do web design. So we kind of do all sorts of, you know, digital media stuff. And this is kind of our first attempt at, you know, doing something in the game world. But yeah, my portion of the project has been more of the creative direction of the look of the game, the character creation, all the illustration and design stuff. And Fred's been kind of more on the side of the game concept, you know, the rules, the gameplay, how everything's going to work. So it's really been a cool collaboration for us and something that's been a lot of fun for us to take on.
Great. Well, Fred, this was, I guess, your idea? Was this your brainchild?
Sure. Yeah. It was kind of born of a selfish nature because I've actually always wanted to do a creative project with Matt, like outside of our day-to-day business that we run. You know, I've always wanted to be like, hey, let's do a comic book, or hey, let's do this, or hey, let's do that. Just because, you know, we've grown up with each other since we were 14 years of age. But this just kind of struck me because one night I was basically at a friend's game night, which we had a lot, and, you know, it's usually board games and video games, which, you know, all of us at the company are big fans of film and big fans of games. And I was just kind of, you know, watching everyone at the tables playing the different games. And I sort of noticed that, like, half the audience was into it and half of the people there were totally not into it. And I think it's just that the games were so hard to pick up and, you know, they just seem to have so many levels of rules that you need, like, a 40-page book to keep track of everything. And I kind of went home and I was just thinking about, like, you know, what if we made a game? Just kind of like posing the question. And I'd always wanted to make some kind of game, be it digital or be it a board game or be it something that was horror-based because I'm a very, very big horror fan. You know, I sat there, started coming up with some ideas. I spent a good while coming up with basically the rules, the concept, and basically a wireframe of the board. And I brought it into the office one day, and I was telling Matt and Mary Joy about the game, and Matt says, well, you know, let's just play it and see if it works. So we sat down and we kind of played it, and Matt immediately starts sketching little ideas and starts having little nuances, like, oh, we could do this, or oh, we could do that with this. And basically after that day, like, the project became an actual project amongst all the other projects we have on a day-to-day basis. But we kind of decided that day after playing that we're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's make this game.
Yeah, which I love. And I think any horror fan out there will love this because these are all characters that we all recognize. Obviously, they are not the characters that we recognize, but they're based off of characters that we love. Was this a collaboration, the idea for which characters to choose, was that a collaboration between both of you, or?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that was a lot of fun with that part, because you know, like I said, Fred had the idea, and he kind of like, you know, he got it to a certain point, and then we were like, okay, let's do this. So then we really got down to business to figuring out, you know, the theme of the game, the backstory, coming up with it. And you're right. I mean, obviously the characters are a nod to all our favorite horror characters, but we can't, you know, create them as they are. So, you know, we kind of put our own spin on our favorite characters. So some of them are kind of mashups. Some of them are, you know, more obvious nods. But yeah, a lot of the fun was in like, cause there's so many awesome characters to pick from. But you know, yeah, we kind of voted and we all had, you know, we all kind of put in our 2 cents about which characters we thought would work best and which ones we thought would be the most fun. So, you know, then it was like sketching them out and kind of really bringing them to life and creating the backstories and the names and all that stuff. So, definitely a collaborative process, at that point. And then kind of everything from that point has been, you know, working together to kind of collaborate. So it was, you know, we kind of definitely share responsibilities, you know, back and forth a lot too.
The real fun part with the characters was actually, you know, besides coming up with like a list and like knocking each other down and being like, well, no, we really need this person. We really need that person. It was the real fun part is actually, you know, making them your own and kind of making backstories to them. Cause you know, we created this town called Tall Oaks. And all the characters are sort of related to the town, and they've all been like done wrong by the town in some way. So, and, you know, that's kind of the backstory to it, is that all these characters have been done wrong by this town, and now, you know, it's kind of, they're coming back to get revenge on the town, and every person has their reason for why they're coming back to get revenge on the town, which was pretty fun creating that kind of world.
Well, it sounds like a messed up town.
Yeah, it's gone. It's definitely gone bad. You know, supposed to be kind of the quintessential American town. And then, you know, but I mean, the idea also behind the game is like, you know, we definitely weren't trying to take ourselves too seriously. You know, the idea is it's supposed to be fun. You know, it's not like supposed to be this super intense, like, it, you know, it's a nod to, like we said before, it's basically, you know, paying homage to all of our favorite kind of pieces from all of these different movies that we love and that we grew up with, you know, horror movies. And also, you know, there's so many fun 80s references and early 90s references to music and culture and everything. So it's really just, you know, we had so much fun just packing it with as much stuff as we could, to make, you know, people just have a great time when they're playing the game.
Well, Brian and I were talking when we first discovered this game, and we both got really excited for obvious reasons, but we were talking about the character, like going through, having a really good time, you know, figuring out, you know, what the characters were nods to. And I was curious about Sarah, because I feel like that one's a little bit...
Everyone has a question about her.
Well,
everyone.
it's just mainly that she seems a little more contemporary than the other ones, and I'm just curious, like, did you have difficulty trying to come up with female characters, you know, iconic horror females? Prom Queen's a, you know, a great one, but she just seems a little more, I guess, newer than...
Definitely,
sure, yeah. So, she's definitely, I mean, because Everyone immediately says to go, it's Samara from The Ring. And I think we're fine with that, because part of, you know, creating a game is we didn't, as much as we want a packet full of stuff that all fans will love, at the same time, you need to make something that's, you know, recognizable, at least to like your, you know, people who aren't such fans of it, but could be like, oh yeah, I know that character.
Right.
So she's definitely not 80s based, in some of her look. But then we added some elements, to kind of that style. Cause, you know, you could also say that she's kind of like Reagan from The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. I can see that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking right at her right now.
So. Yeah. I mean, she's got that ripped nightgown and it's stained and stuff. But then even more importantly was, you know, Matt and I, cause we debated on that character a lot, cause we wanted to try to mash elements in. Cause like Matt said, we wanted to make them like hybrids with multiple characters with multiple nods to multiple movies. So we also worked in the chains in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And any person who's a big Sam Raimi film would definitely, you know, be like, oh, wait, is this like an Evil Dead reference? So, you know, you've got a lot of different things working in there with her character, definitely.
Yeah, and definitely with her backstory and the Sarah Jacobs, like her name being Sarah Jacobs too, we talked about the Crucible a little bit and some sort of like witch element to her too. So yeah, so there's, you know, it's, you know, there's no rules. I mean, we definitely weren't trying to make ourselves stick to any sort of strict guidelines. We were just kind of having fun with it and making the characters kind of, you know, be as fun as possible. But it is interesting too that you mentioned the female characters, because it definitely was more challenging, I think, to come up with female characters than it was the male characters, which I just think is kind of interesting in general, you know. Most of the slashers that people think about are the you know, the male characters. So it was cool to try to get some female characters in the game as well.
And I think the thing that's funny about the 80s films is I think a lot of people, when they start thinking of like 80s slasher films, is that the female is usually looked at as like the victim a lot of times in those movies. And usually the super female character is like the one who survives at the end. And there's definitely some cards in the deck that kind of say, that kind of give nods and kind of bring that element in, where we have characters who can survive and have characters who get away and you can't attack. Who are those characters as well?
You have, so I guess the backstories are in print in the game. So when you get it, and you can learn all about the characters.
Yeah. So Matt came up with this awesome idea for, originally the game, when I proposed it, literally everyone was given 6 tokens, and those tokens were your health. And Matt was like, well, wait a minute, you know, we're making a game about like slashers. He's like, why don't we build like a little knife station, and that holds your health. And then we could put cards inside the stations, and the cards tell the story of each character. So when you're sitting there, you have this card right in front of you that tells you the background for that character, like who you're playing as and what your motives are.
Okay, that's really creative. That's really, I get more and more excited about this the more I talk about it.
Thanks. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, and I think everyone that I have talked to about it is also really excited, because horror fans, we love stuff like this. I mean, you know this as a horror fan, and you love to collect stuff, and you love things that are aimed at you. So on the rare occasion that there's a game that comes out that is focused on, like, I have a trivia game from several years ago that's like half Friday the 13th, half Nightmare on Elm Street. The problem with that is that I have to only really play it with diehard fans of each of those. Otherwise, you're kind of leaving them in the dust because they don't know anything.
Yeah.
So another question I have about this is, say you have friends who come over who aren't really horror fans. Can they still enjoy this game?
Absolutely. That's kind of the thing with making this more than just, as much as it is, you know, a nod to horror films and 80s horror films, like Matt said, we packed it full of 80s pop culture, familiar songs. On top of that, Matt also had said, like, you know, it's not a game where it's too serious. A lot of it's in jest and in good humor. So if you're not a horror fan and, you know, you're grossed out by horror film, you're still going to have a fun time playing the game. It's easy to pick up, it's easy to play, and it gets really, really addictive really, really quick. During one of our demos, we actually had this father who brought his son along to this demo we did in Third Eye Comics. And at first, he was definitely taken back by the idea of the game, that he's going around killing people. Within 10 minutes of getting into the game, he was really, really into the game.
They were laughing, and then him and his son were like asking us when it was going to get made and like how they could get the game and all this stuff. So yeah, it's totally, I mean, the idea is that it's totally, you don't have to be like a super fan to enjoy it. I mean, you can just be a person who loves, like, you know, comic book style art, or, you know, 80s movies or early 90s movies, like pop. It's really just a pop culture kind of game with, you know, a horror theme to it. And while there's, like, you know, if you are a big horror fan, like, that's your, you know, there's a lot of stuff you're going to pick up on in there that kind of the average person might not pick up on, but totally, you know, just kind of anybody who's looking to have a good time will still really enjoy playing the game. So hopefully that's something that we're successful with and kind of hitting both of those, you know, different demographics.
Well, I imagine then it's sort of a case of if you are a big horror fan, you'll get the joke and you'll be in on the joke. And if you're not, then you're not going to really, you're not going to be able to miss anything play-wise. You just won't get sort of like the inside nods, you know. And
absolutely.
And that just makes us horror fans feel that much cooler. You know, it's like, oh, that's for me.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and with the music, too. Like, we're both big music guys. So there's a lot of, like, you know, 80s music lyrics that are kind of, like, tossed in there, you know, like, she just died in your arms tonight kind of stuff. Just kind of, like, total, you know, one-liners here and there that hopefully people, you know, if you get it, it's hilarious and you love it, you know. And if you miss it, you're, like you said, you're going to still be able to play the game and enjoy it. But we really tried to add that element of, like, connecting with people on, you know, the stuff that they love, you know, the same stuff that we love.
So I think now you probably just piqued Brian's interest that much more because not only is he a big horror fan, but he is also a big 80s music fan, as am I, but he probably knows more than I do, so that I'm sure he's getting even more excited. Brian, did you have anything?
Yeah, hey guys. I've actually designed some games myself, mostly on the RPG side of things, so I actually have some questions about some of your design choices and why you went certain ways. First off, your characters. Did you have any characters that you were thinking about including and for whatever reason they just didn't make the cut? And if so, who might they have been?
Yeah, we definitely had, part of the Kickstarter campaign stretch goals are two new characters. They're actually added to the game. So the game right now comes with 8 characters. That you can choose to play as. And, part of the campaign, hopefully, is that we'll get to, add a couple different characters to the game. We announced the first character, at 200 backers, which is, his name is Dr. Ravenous. And he's, a doctor who is a cannibal. I don't know, that might bring up some hints of who that character's supposed to be. But, like we said, it was totally tough to narrow it down because there's so many awesome kind of iconic horror characters to choose from, but I think we tried to just get kind of a good balance of characters, and then also, you know, it also had somewhat to do with the artwork and kind of like what characters we thought kind of came out the best in our sketches or what characters we were really excited about kind of bringing into the game. But Fred maybe can talk to you a little bit about, you know, the idea of there's, you know, easily so many more things you can do with expanding upon this game or having other versions with different characters and all that kind of stuff. So maybe Fred can chat a little bit about that too.
Sure, yeah. I will say one character that almost every person has said to me seems to be missing from the game, but I don't actually think is missing from the game, is people are wondering where Michael Myers was or someone like Michael Myers.
Well, I always took him to be combined with the legend.
There you go. I'm glad you're picking that up because a lot of people have not picked. I mean, the legend is a good combination of those characters because, you know, he's got that plain looking white face to him. And I always thought that Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees were very, very, their backstory were very, very similar. You know, they're both kids who, you know, their evilness was kind of born from like a sexual encounter between like, you know, the camp counselors or their sister. So I always thought like those characters were two very similar to begin with. So I thought, you know, we could definitely combine those two. And then kind of the legend's like clothing and look actually comes from like other 80s movies. So, you know, I don't think we left anyone on the floor that was a deal breaker. You know, we also had people that were saying, you know, why aren't classic, you know, horror characters like Frankenstein and Dracula, you know, all the Universal Studios characters in it. And, you know, we kind of, you know, it was really, really hard to keep everything within the 80s as much as possible / early 90s. But I thought we did a pretty good job of covering our bases because, you know, you have like the, character, Smiley, who's a good combination of like all the kind of killer clowns, like killer clowns from outer space, but then he kind of has like an it look to him / Pennywise. So like, You know, I was kind of happy with the decisions we made. And like Matt said, there's, you know, we have our stretch goals to bring in two characters we really wanted to bring in, but we just didn't have the space for them in the basic game. And then we definitely, you know, first and foremost, we want to make this game happen and get this game funded. But if we were to ever get this funded and could possibly do a sequel to it, you know, there's so many different directions you could go. You could do Asian horror. You know, you could do creature features with all creatures and monsters. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of characters. You know, that's kind of a great thing about the horror genre in general is that there's just so many great characters and memorable characters.
Oh, I agree. And I do applaud your decision of combining Jason and Michael because it's the same reason why a Versus movie between them just wouldn't be good. Two big, silent killing machines. There ain't going to be much dynamic there.
Yeah, exactly.
Another question I had was, this is an 80s game, and for that I love it, but why did you guys pick the 80s? Because the horror genre, it is so wide and so vast, you could have made any sort of game, but you guys specifically targeted this decade. Why was that?
So there's two reasons behind that. First and most importantly, we're 80s kids. Every one of us. Every one of us at the company is 80s kids. So it's definitely the time we probably most know of in terms of being kids and growing up on these kinds of films. But then secondly, as Matt said, you know, the game has a lot of humor and it comes with a jest to it. I think the 80s just really, really did a good job of just taking horror films. They're still scary, they're gory, but there's also a great, like, comedy sense to them. You know, movies like Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, Robert Englund, he does such a good job of being, you know, both menacing and comical at the same time. And I think that's missing a lot in newer horror films. It was somewhat in the 70s, like in the Grindhouse kind of film, but, you know, I think, you know, whereas the 80s film took more like, you know, something from the late 70s, like Halloween and Michael Myers, and definitely made it, you know, it kept that sense of the slasher coming after you, but it definitely injected a little humor. And I think that was important to us because, you know, I didn't want to make a game and Matt didn't want to make a game and Mary Joy didn't want to make a game that would push away casual people, or casual gamers. We wanted to have something that would be welcome to everyone. So I think having that little sense of comedy, having that little sense of campiness really, really makes the game better.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, like, the 80s were just so hilarious. I mean, there's so many good things to pull from. It's just a huge bank of, like, awesome things to grab from. Like we said, like, the music, the clothing, you know, the movies, the, you know, the TV shows that we were growing up on. So there's just so many funny things that we're nostalgic about. And, like, the fact that we called it Mixtape Massacre and we have the VHS tape and the cassette tape elements like into the game. Like, you know, if you're a kid now and you see a VHS tape or a cassette tape, you have no idea what that even is. So that was part of it for us too. It's just like reliving some of the hilarious things, you know, like Nintendo games and VHS tapes and just making our own mixtapes when we were kids. So part of it for us was just the fun and kind of rehashing that and connecting with other people who are nostalgic about that stuff. Because that's just fun for us, you know, in general.
Well,
I think that's great. And if you do decide to branch off and do other versions, which I really hope you do, because I would collect every one of them and urge everyone I know to do so. This is a great way. This is a great place to start. You know, there are a lot of 80s kids horror fans out there, which I've noticed. And like in working on the internet and doing podcasting and stuff is that there's a huge demographic that is our age group, and I think you're just, bam, you're just playing with everyone's memories right there.
Yeah, and I think that was something that we, you know, that was part of the idea when Fred brought it to the table was like, you know, we're definitely being designers and creative people. We're aware of kind of like the stuff that's coming out. You know, nowadays there's tons of pop culture T-shirts that reference the 80s. There's all these cool websites where, you know, like Threadless and Rip, where people can get you know, and Fright Rags, where people can get these awesome t-shirts and nostalgic stuff. But we were like, there's no game like this. There's no game where people can play as their favorite horror characters and, you know, reference all this cool pop culture nostalgic stuff. So, like, we definitely thought that there might be, you know, a need or a want for something like this.
Need.
And hopefully there is.
need is a good word. There is a need.
we're glad that, that you feel that way, because that's definitely what, you know, that definitely was something we were thinking of when we were coming up with the concept.
Well, it's because of that concept that what first drew my attention to it. I'm an 80s child as well, and I've said forever that the 80s was a golden age for horror. And there's a lot of horror games out there, but I haven't seen anything tackle it from the way you are. So, you know, kudos on that idea.
That was definitely part of the reason we wanted to do this, too, is because most of the horror games that I've seen, it's very zombie-focused, which
yeah,
I
was going to say, please don't ever do a zombie expansion or anything.
Yeah. I think that's part of the reason, you know, we wanted to do something that was more slasher focused, more classical, because everyone has just, there's so much zombie stuff out there anymore. And, you know, I'm not knocking it. I think if you do it right, it's great. But, I'm zombied out.
Yeah. And the other twist that I think that, people are really appreciating, you know, and hopefully are excited about is the fact that in our games you play as the bad guys. Wherein, you know, most of the zombie games or the other games that I've seen, you're trying to get away, you're trying to survive or whatever. And that's cool, but I think one of our intentions was to kind of flip the scenario and allow people to, you know, take the reins as the slashers or as the villains and kind of, you know, see how that goes. Because it's a different perspective. And all the cards in the game are from the perspective of the killer. You know, if the victims get away, it's because of these classic scenarios where, like, you know, someone survived or someone snuck away and got through, and, you know, maybe you have to wait till the next round to kind of get them. And so, it, you know, that was definitely an added element that we thought was really interesting to the game.
Another game design question I have for you: your individual characters, are there game differences between them? In other words, does one get a special power or ability that another one might not, or are they all, or are all the players kept at baseline levels? So
they all, in terms of health and things like that, everyone starts off the same. We do have some unique abilities. Basically, each character, when the game starts, gets a token that they can cash in at one point. And it kind of has like a little icon on it that's unique to the character. So, like, for example, with Sarah, her token has like a book on it. And we have these little unique abilities that each one can use. You know, an example is, the character Stitches, who's kind of the chainsaw wielding monster. He has one that's called, and again, 80s references, it's called Hard to Kill. And basically what it is in the event of death, Stitches can use Hard to Kill's ability to resurrect himself with one health and continue playing. So, you know, we kind of make it that, like, some characters can bring themselves back. Sarah can cast a spell. You know, the Legend, since he's called the Legend, he has an ability to do an instant kill rather than have to roll dice when he draws a card. So we have, like, these different unique abilities planned out for each character. And that's if you're playing the regular mode of the game. We have other modes of the game. Basically, if you ever get tired of playing Mixtape Massacre, there's like three scenarios packed in with the game with different rule sets where you might not be able to use your unique abilities during that mode or something.
See, so. I love that because then Brian and I, for instance, could play this game numerous times and just keep choosing different characters, and it could have all sorts of different outcomes because of, like, different abilities or even playing the variations. That's
absolutely,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, I'm yeah. even more excited. I can't stop getting me yeah, so excited yeah, when I can't
we,
play
I mean,
it
we
right now.
We originally were, it was tough because originally, you know, it's definitely, you know, we didn't want to get over complex with the game. So it was trying to kind of find the balance of, like, having it where it has, you know, good replayability value, and it also, you know, is, is like sort of engaging enough that the people who play games are not going to be bored with it after one play kind of thing. So we wanted to make it complex enough for that, but we also wanted, you know, like Fred said, when he's playing games or when we've been playing games before, you know, sometimes people don't want to sit down and play a game for 4 hours or have to, you know, some crazy strategy that you have to learn or rule book that's 10 pages long or whatever. So we're trying to find a balance between the two. And I think the character abilities are like a really cool, you know, they're not a huge advantage, but they're definitely a little bit of a twist that each character has. And the coolest part about them is that each one is unique to the character. And they have like a cool name that goes with the character. So they're, you know, within the same theme of the character, which was a lot of fun to come up with.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine I would have a great time trying to do something like this. I once attempted to design many years ago, like a decade ago. I suddenly was into Cheers all of a sudden, and I was just, because I think it was in syndication, so I was watching Cheers every second, and I designed a Cheers board game that never went anywhere, and then I discovered there already was one, but it was fun just coming up with, you know, different rules, variations, and then, but I was just playing around with it. You know, but there are a lot of logistics involved when you're trying to do something like that for other people to play. I mean, you have to make sure that they can understand what you're trying to get across, and, you know, because it's not like they can call you every second and go, okay, now this happened. What do we do?
Yeah, totally. And that's where our, like, demos have come in and helped a lot. You know, we've done 3 or 4 different demo nights now. And we've had, you know, obviously besides that, we've been playing the game with our friends and family a ton over the past, like, you know, 4 months. So it's been like a ton of trying things out and getting feedback from people. And a lot of it is also too, in just like the balance of cards, because, you know, our game has chance element to it. So you want to make sure that, you know, the balance of the game feels right and that people are having a good time and stuff. So it's definitely been the best thing about that is just letting people try and play it and getting their feedback and keep tweaking things until we feel like it's, you know, working, you know, and everybody's enjoying the game.
What kind of feedback have you been getting? I'm just from reaching out via social media or whatever. Do you seem to be, are people excited about this?
Yeah, the horror fans are definitely excited about it. I think there's some, I think there's some board game people who have their ideas of what board games should be, and, you know, maybe and maybe not ours fits that definition, but every demo we've done, especially on International Tabletop Day, we actually did a demo at a comic store for International Tabletop Day and had a lot of people coming through. People who had, you know, never played a game like it before thought it was the newest, coolest thing, which was great to hear, because I think there's a difference between seeing an idea and playing an idea, and that's kind of been the fun about having the demos. You know, people come in, they sit down. We've had people who don't play board games at all. We have people who play board games all the time, and both seem to enjoy it the same amount, which has been great because, you know, you kind of work on something for so long, and then you put it out there for people, and you're like, man, I just hope they like it.
yeah, absolutely.
But, the feedback's been great. And you know, even on our Kickstarter page, you know, people just keep saying as they back it, they're just like, man, I'm so glad I found this. You know, what an awesome concept. So glad that you guys are doing something like this. So, you know, it's great.
That's awesome. Brian, did you find this or was this the listener that pointed this out?
I basically brought it to your attention.
Yeah, he did. And he's like, look at this! and then there it went.
What do you think's been the biggest challenge with doing this, either from its initial idea or all the way up to, you know, starting the Kickstarter? Or what is the thing that you've hated the most about doing this?
I don't know. I don't think we've hated anything about it. I mean, like Fred said, it's really like a passion project for us. So it's not, you know, we're not expecting to make a ton of money. We're not like, you know, we have plenty of projects already that we're doing, but this is something that we wanted to do and that we took on ourselves. So from kind of the concept all the way through the artwork and creating the characters and the boards and everything, it's, I think we've really had a good time with it. I would say as far as a challenge,
Fred.
Maybe Fred can speak on his end what he thinks a challenge, but I think, you know, just the logistics of it have been more of a challenge, like, manufacturing, international shipping, actually, putting together the Kickstarter, kind of, more of the business side of it, the stuff that's not as fun as creating the characters and coming up with all the, the fun, references and stuff like that. But, again, it's not stuff that we hated doing because we knew that it was going to be part of the process, but it's just not as fun as the other stuff. But, in order to be successful and to really try to get it out to people, that's just kind of what, comes with the territory, I think.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. The figuring out all the shipping options has probably been the most challenging thing, especially for, we're a small company. There's a lot of these board game companies who now use Kickstarter to launch all their products. They've created like 45 board games and number 46 is coming up and they go to Kickstarter first and they kind of have their, they have their substations in other countries that can do the delivery. This is our first game. We're a small company. We don't do this on the regular. So, we don't have all those solutions available to us. Nor do we have the following, that those companies do. Those companies are producing, 700 to 2000 versions, or copies of their game. So, they can have, low standards on pricing and things like that. We don't have a big following for this. So,
A few people, it really hasn't been like we were saying, the feedback has been like really positive and awesome and people are really excited. But there's definitely been a few, people who kind of were like, well, you guys are a new company. Have you ever made board games before? And which is a valid point, we haven't made a board game before. But you have to start somewhere. Like every other
Absolutely.
Company does, and we feel like, we've done the research and we've tried to put in the work and the testing and the demos and everything. So we feel pretty confident in our product and hopefully people are willing to give it a chance,
Absolutely.
Well, it looks great. And I can't wait to get my hands on it. And, good on you guys for just going out and doing it. Like Jamie, some years back, I had an idea for a game and just getting it off the ground seemed so daunting that I walked away from it. So,
yeah.
I'm glad you guys
Absolutely.
Did.
Well, thanks. You appreciate it.
Okay. Well, and so as we've mentioned a couple times, you do have a Kickstarter going for this. And so listen up, people out there. This is the important part. You have, as of now, less than 2 weeks left on the Kickstarter, right? When is the end date for that?
May 8th. May 8th at 9:55 in the morning. Literally May 7th,
to be exact.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so and if they go to the, you can either look it up on Kickstarter or you can go to mixtapemassacre.com and there's a link to the Kickstarter on the webpage. Right?
Yep.
And you can click the Kickstarter button and it'll take you to the Kickstarter. And so tell us about the Kickstarter. What are the perks? Or what are the, the plan? What is it called? The levels?
the rewards.
There you go.
Sure. Yeah, I can talk you through them. So we have a good amount of rewards for ours. It starts with, cause, they always say to just start with a donation level. So we've done different things like that. It starts with just called the digital high five. So if you donate $5, we actually have some custom wallpapers we've created for the game for you to decorate your computers and things with. Then the next level is called the Let's Do This, and that is literally the game. And it's included with it is all the stretch goals. So any stretch goals achieved, that's packed into your game, and that's $60. The next level after that is called the Whole Bloody Affair, and this is really for, avid fans and collectors. This is a game. It's a grindhouse style t-shirt and a grindhouse style poster, which is done on an 18x24 silkscreen. Then we have Double the Fun, which actually saves you some money. It's $110 and you get two copies of the game. And I should mention that if you're within the U.S., shipping is included with all of these packages. So that was part of the thing Matt was talking about with the challenges. We worked all of the shipping into this for you guys. Then we have the then we have kind of like the big grand prize package, which one of them has been bought. There's one at $666, and it's called Playing the Victim. This is basically you get the whole Bloody Affair package with you know, the T-shirt, the pin, the poster, the game. But then you also get drawn into the game as one of the victims.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So we've made five of those available. One of them has been purchased. And, you know, we thought that'd be really fun, especially for big fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes some time, especially on Matt's part. I feel bad that we did it, but because he didn't have to draw it all. But basically, you know, a person who purchases that package, they can mail us their, or they can email us their photo, and we will draw them into the game, into one of the scenes. So when you draw one of those cards, you're in everybody's game. Then the last package is called Lucky Seven Survivor. And for $777, you can be this one unique card that's in the deck, and it's called The Survivor. And basically, when this card's drawn, it has like a laundry list of effects that happen to the game. And the person who actually draws it, besides it affecting the entire game and affecting all the other players on the board, it also affects, it really, really affects the person who draws the card. So, you know, if you ever want to be Ash from Evil Dead, this is your chance.
See, that's really cool, because not only can you have this game and play this game, but you can be immortalized forever.
Yeah, exactly.
In this game.
This is the one chance to get into the game. Yeah, and we thought that was a really fun way for people who, like, you know, we're really into it and wanted to, you know, A, support the cause, but also B, get an awesome reward where you're actually illustrated into the game that's going to go out to everybody.
Cool.
So we were pretty excited to be able to offer something like that. And we'd like for it to, we've got one person who's pledged that reward level so far. So that's pretty awesome that person's going to get drawn into the game.
And I want to say that just even at the $60 price level, if people out there, if you haven't priced board games recently to, and I have a lot, that's not expensive, and it includes shipping. So that's a really good deal for something this original, or for anything, period, but for something this original. Plus, you know, I mean, you're just pre-ordering something that you want anyway, and you're not, it's not an exorbitant price. So, and then of course with the one that's the double your fun, that's, you save a little bit of money. So you have one to keep and one to give away for a gift, or one to keep and one to keep as a backup when you wear the other one out.
Yeah.
I don't know, but those are some really good rewards. I think that people have a lot to look forward to there. And I really encourage people to go and check this out, because not only will it help you guys get this thing off the ground, but it'll also tell you that, yes, there is a demand and a need and a desire for this out there. And we're going to try to do our best to let everyone know about it. And then hopefully they can jump on the bandwagon and get theirs as early as possible. Because, I mean, look, get your Kickstarter in now, people, because you don't want to be sitting back jealous of your friends when they have theirs and you don't have yours yet. So that's get on board.
Yeah, and the other thing is, there is certain, like all the reward levels, like the whole Bloody Affair pack and stuff like that, those are all stuff that is only exclusive to Kickstarter. So once those T-shirts and posters and stuff are gone forever. The idea is obviously, you know, being a Kickstarter backer is you have some of these rewards that we try to make limited, you know, in kind of a one run. And then also you're a part of bringing the game to life, which I think is cool. You know, I've backed a bunch of Kickstarter different things, you know, watches and games and different stuff. And besides having a product that you like, you also, you know, I do take pride in being like one of the first people to have it. You know, I mean, being the first to have anything is always cool. You know, we hope that people take a little pride in that too, saying that they helped make the game become a reality too.
That's why people stand in line at midnight outside of GameStop, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When there's a new game.
Stand there, you know, Freddie and I used to go to Tower Records at midnight and wait for our, you know, favorite records to come out. You know, so it's just that
right.
same sort of, you know, being a part of something from the ground up or whatever. You know, you can take pride in that.
And just real quick, I've actually been a part of a few Kickstarters, and every single one, without fail, when it's over, I always have people coming up going, oh, well, can I still pledge and can I still? No, you can't. So if anybody out there is interested in this, back it. I mean, this is a new way of bringing stuff out to the masses. It should be embraced and it should be championed. So if this sounds good to you and you'd like to play this game, don't wait for it to come out. Make it come out. Help it come out.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. And you've got till May 8th at 9, 5, May 7th, whatever. First week in May. The clock is ticking. So
yep,
get it in there.
We're feeling good. I mean, the hardest thing has just been getting the word out.
Thank you so much for taking time out to tell us all about your game and the process behind it. Is there anything that you want to throw out there to the listeners?
Yeah, just check out the project if it sounds like something you'd be into, which hopefully your horror listeners, you know, like. And if, you know, we're really readily available all the time. When people ask us questions or send us comments about specific stuff, we're getting right back to them. So that's really important for us, is to engage with people and kind of make the whole process something that we're constantly getting feedback. And, you know, so if you have any questions, definitely feel free to reach out.
Right. And again, that's Fred Carlini and Matt Corrado at Bright Light Media. And go to mixtapemassacre.com and click that Kickstarter button, get this going, and then you can be as excited as we all are. All right. Thanks again, guys. And I guess good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Awesome.
With
thanks
it.
For having us.
Thank you, guys.
This has been a Legion podcast. Ooh, quickie.